are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're going to look back at the last 2 weeks in the floor covering industry. We have on the line with us Kemp Haar. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. And Kemp, how are you doing today?
Great. Good morning, Dave. Hey, I missed you last week.
Well, I missed you last week, too. And, in fact, I missed the first topic we're going to talk about is the AFA's Floor Tech show, which I missed all but about 2 hours of that show.
Yeah, I know. You had surgery. I guess you had a relative with some surgery. So
yes, my granddaughter. Well, so I wasn't able to make it, and everything's fine there. And
good.
I understand. Well, just let me ask you for your take on the show. Now, this is it's a biannual show. It's held in Dalton at the Trade Center. It's sponsored by the American Floor Covering Alliance, and it's called the Floor Tech Show. And it's a show of suppliers to the floor covering industry, primarily suppliers to the carpet sector of the industry. And I want to ask you about a roundtable discussion,
yeah,
which you held. But first, let me just ask you about the show. What was your take on the show in general?
Well, you know, that show has evolved considerably since it was, I guess it grew up a long time ago as the Carpet Manufacturers Marketing Association, which was down there at the old good old Holiday Inn.
Right.
I believe if the walls could talk, they'd be talking about you, Dave. But anyway, that I know that it's moved up the hill, a much nicer venue for a show like that. And it's every other year, like you said, and in 2 more years, I'm pretty sure they're going to have a hotel right there adjacent to the thing. So, but anyway, to get to the specifics of the show, we did have a roundtable to kick it off, and it was pretty well attended, and we can get into that in a minute. The show had, about 100 exhibitors, had nice constant flow of traffic. I was talking to Wanda Ellis yesterday about it, and she said that they were pleased with the traffic and that it was, in line with what they'd had in the past, which is good, when you consider the economy and continued consolidation. While it does have the American Floor Covering Alliance moniker, it's a majority of what's going on there. It deals with the process of making carpet. So if you look at some of the suppliers, I noticed some pretty neat things. Bensfield was there, Power Heat Set, both of those companies in the yarn processing business. And then there was a company that I took note of, Hitex. They make a robot hand tufting system.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have those kind of folks. All three of the major there are four major tufting equipment manufacturers. They were there. Most of the backing companies were there. The accessory type of machinery that you need to process carpet, most of those were represented. So, it was a good show.
You know, one of the dynamics of that show is, I think, most shows, you buy a plane ticket, you book a room, and you're there for 2-3 days. This show, you sit at your desk and say, hey, I'm going to go over to the show for a couple of hours. And I think a lot of people miss the show or don't go simply because the phone's ringing or they can't get away from their desk.
Right. Yeah, since you don't have to travel. And, there's several ways of judging the show. This show, I don't think, is judged necessarily on the traffic, especially when you consider that the market's consolidated, and when you start thinking about there's 20 or 30 people that can pretty well make major decisions on a majority of the carpet that's made in within 100 miles of Dalton, and by talking to the people that were at the show, especially toward the end of the show, because it rained heavily the first day, but they were real pleased with the type of business conversations that were had, the outlook for future business that was generated at the show. So that's one good way of judging a show.
Yeah. Well, I think the buying power was there, as you mentioned.
Yes.
Even though it wasn't elbow-to-elbow people.
Right.
In fact, I can't say that because I wasn't at that show this year. But
it wasn't.
Most shows are not, but that doesn't really say that the buying power and the brass do show up at that show at some point during its 3-day run.
Right.
Let's do this. Let's take a break, and I want to come back and ask you about the roundtable discussion. That was on the topic of globalization.
That's right.
Big topic, and a lot of brass there to talk about it. Let's take a break here. We're going to come back and talk about that roundtable. Kemp Harris with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. And we're going to be right back. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We have Kemp Harris on the line with us this morning from Floor Focus magazine. We're looking back at the AFA's Floor Tech Show, which was held last week in Dalton. That's a show that is primarily suppliers to the carpet sector. And among other things, you wore lots of hats at this outing this past week, and you led a roundtable discussion on the topic of globalization. What was the long and the short of that roundtable?
Well, let me tell you, I've got to give some credit here to several people that helped me out with this. You know, the original plan was to have four panel members, and it ended up with just two of us. But you know, there weren't any gaps because you know, the two gentlemen that participated were well informed, well versed, and could speak about this topic real well. I had Dan Frierson. Everybody knows Dan, you know, as the chairman CEO of Dixie. And also had Joe Williams, who's in charge of international sales for BoU. And I started out a couple weeks prior to the show by getting a presentation from Mac Ryland, who had given a presentation, I believe, at a CRI annual meeting a couple years earlier, where he had talked about, you know, of course, the subject matter is the challenges of globalization. And when we were talking about this 2 years ago, we were talking about the threat of imports, and at that time, we were watching, you know, these little charts that were showing every year more and more product was coming in from overseas. And but what's different from that presentation is that as the business has softened a bit, and the total carpet volume has fallen off, and the dollar, U.S. dollar, is weaker to other currencies. What you're seeing is that the import levels today are at the same level of where they were in the year 2000.
That's across the board, or that's just carpet?
Well, that's a we showed each segment. We didn't focus on carpet, but we actually went through each major flooring segment and showed that all of them are off as far as, you know, the import levels of what they were a couple years ago to what they are today. They've all come down just a little bit. And, you know, we could go through each one, but, that would take us a few minutes. And I think we should probably just stay focused on the soft end of it. One of the things that you're seeing, and we spent most of our discussion on this, since, you know, you've got the two guys on the panel focusing the soft piece of the business, you know, we're seeing that there is much more opportunity for exporting now with the dollar and situation with, you know, its value versus foreign currencies. And both of these companies, both Dixie and BoU, are doing well in that area and expanding in that area. Uh-huh. And the guy, Joe Williams, who was from BoU, was actually explaining what it took to be a good exporter. And, you know, he said you have to have feet on the street over there in whatever country where you're going to sell it. You have to understand the marketplace and understand that each one of, say, let's say you're talking about Europe, each one of those countries has their own nuances. There are certain countries that like polypropylene versus nylon. There are certain countries that like, shorter yarn lengths. And so, you know, you have to know what the marketplace is looking for. And you have to establish a base over there. You can't just, you know, do business from here and expect to do well. And you have to develop distribution. So we spent a good deal of the time talking about that. We also talked about, toward the beginning of the conversation, we talked a little bit about the threat of China. And there was a quote that got picked up by both the Chattanooga and Dalton papers that Dan Frierson said. You know, he said that if China decides they want to be a player in the U.S., you know, beige cut pile carpet market, you know, the base end of the business, it doesn't have to make economic sense, you know, with all the government subsidies and everything, that they could do what they want to. But, you know, statistics are showing that, you know, that's not something they're pursuing, and so it's not a threat today.
Not to say that it won't be at some time in the future.
That's right.
It not
could be
today.
A threat sometime in the future. But
you know, you really had two good panelists for that. Certainly, Dixie has been involved in the international market for a long time, and certainly Bo Yu just about wrote the book on it.
That's right. And, you know, just to throw the stats out real quick, as we mentioned, you know, 12%, the import level is holding at around 12%. A majority of that now are the rugs. You know, when you start talking broad loom, the number's a lot lower. And we were talking revenue numbers. And so a good percentage of the revenue is on that lower end, you know, value priced rug business. You know, broad loom's even lower than that. But the total is 12%. And then if you think about it, in the export business right now, it's less than 3%. So there's a huge opportunity for volume in the export market.
Excellent. Let's take a break here. I'm going to come back and ask you about the awards dinner
that
was held as a part of the Floor Tech show this past week. Kemp Haar is with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stand by. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're looking back at the week. Actually, we're looking back at 2 weeks in the floor covering business. Kemp Haar's on the line with us, a publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We've been talking about the AFA's Floor Tech show that was held last week at the Trade Center in Dalton. That's a show that is primarily suppliers to the carpet industry and sort of working its way into the general floor covering business. One of the events held around that show was the Floor Tech Awards dinner, and you were the MC of that, and I need a full report.
Well, I had to fill in for you, Dave, but I guess I did okay, and I'm sure you have your job a year and a half from now if you want it back. But I told a few jokes, and then we got right into the awards, and there were four awards given, and the first one was for individual leadership. And, you know, there were several people nominated, but the winner of that award was Mr. Jim Jolly. And so he was there, he and his wife were there, and accepted the award. And, you know, it's amazing when you think of Jim. And, you know, when they were given the award, they read a little bio on all the things that he's done. And it's amazing he had time during the day, as much philanthropic work as he's done. I mean, this guy is amazing. All the great things he's done, not only from a business standpoint, but also from a, you know, civic and charitable standpoint. So they recognized him, and he was there and accepted it. And then we gave an award. It was called the Environmental Award. And again, several companies were nominated. The winner was the CARE, the Carpet America Recovery
Effort.
Yes. And Steve Bradfield was there to accept that award, and Jeremy, I think, was also there to accept it. And CARE won that award. The next one was there was four or five major companies that are in the yarn processing business that had been nominated. And so the Product Method Innovation Award went to Power Heatset for some new equipment that they've got on the market that's pretty innovative. And the last award went to the Contribution to the Industry Award, and Shaw won that award for their Evergreen and Green Edge environmental program, and Steve Bradfield was there to accept that. So those were all very you know, nice awards, and that were well earned by the winners.
Very good, very good. Well, you want to share any of the jokes that you told?
No, because, you know, those jokes were probably good there, but, and you know, everybody listening to you was probably there, so
Okay, well, I just wanted to give you an opportunity.
Yeah.
Let me change the subject here, and congratulations on doing all that, and congratulations to all the winners, and that's a great event every other year.
You know, I will tell you, there was some international scope, because several of the newspapers covered the panel and ran stories on it, which was picked up on the AP, which was then in turn picked up by several of these national and international blogs. And so in some of these clipping services that we've hired, I was seeing quotes from this show bouncing around in Germany and Italy and far parts of the world.
How about that? Well, hats off to you for putting that together.
Oh, it was a group effort, but I'm glad to be part of it.
Let's take a break here. We're going to come back. I'm going to change the subject. We're going to talk about some earnings reports, and first on the list is Interface. They reported since we talked last a couple of weeks ago. Kemp Hodge with us this morning. He is publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Hodge with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're looking back at the last 2 weeks in this floor covering business. And since we talked last, Kemp, Interface has reported their third quarter earnings. It was a good quarter for them.
Actually, it was a fantastic quarter for them. You know, if you dial out the write-down, the write-off that they had to make getting out of that fabrics business, they're having a fantastic year.
And An excellent year. Let me run through some of the numbers. As you mentioned, because of the write-offs in the fabrics business, their income was down by about, 4.5% was it, $8.6 million. Sales were up by over 19% to $280 million. And, of course, the modular business has just been going super well for them, and of course their segmentation strategy, which they announced, I can't even tell you how many years ago, I think has been a real benefit, a major benefit for the company. And of course they're an international company. We were talking about globalization.
Yeah.
They're in Europe, they're in Asia Pacific region.
Oh yeah, you know, they do over $1 billion in revenue, and I think only about 600,000 of that's here in the U.S.
And everything was
$600 million, excuse me.
I think I said revenues were up by over 20% in each of the areas that they serve globally. So whatever they're doing it right. I think Hendricks, Dan Hendricks has just done an amazing job with that company over the last several years.
Oh, I know. You, when you look at it, they did a $31 million write-off on that fabrics business. And despite that, just for the quarter, their revenue was up 19.3%. And you take a look at that growth in the modular business. You know, they're the king of the modular business. And that segment alone, from a revenue perspective, has grown 25.5%. And from an earnings perspective, is up to 45%. So doing real well there. You know, they have the Bentley Print Street division. And their business is also doing very well. So, hats off to them for an excellent third quarter.
You know, they also paid down a lot of debt.
That's right.
And that was something that had sort of over the past several years, not so much in the last two, but they had a good deal of debt, and they've got that paid down. Of course, they needed to cover this ground while the commercial market is hot. So they've
right.
done a really good job. Another organization that's reported earnings since we talked last, in fact, they just did this yesterday morning, Dixie. their third quarter earnings off. They've got a lot of exposure in the residential arena, and their third quarter earnings came in at $2.2 million. That's off by about 14%. They missed expectations, but only by 2 cents. They reported 22 or 20 cents, and analysts were looking for 22. Sales for the quarter were off only by 1.5% to $82.4 million. And I think they're doing they're really doing amazing job. Their commercial part is doing amazingly well. Sales are almost up by 24%.
When you think about it, I was interested when I saw that yesterday and saw that the analysts were expecting more from them because they are a company that's primarily U.S. based. Does have some international sales, but from a diversity standpoint, primarily U.S. And they do play in both the residential and commercial market. But definitely a majority, but probably much better than just a majority of their businesses in the residential market. And the residential market, carpet market, is off. 13.8%, I guess, is according to their some statistics that Dan Frierson gave in his press release on this third quarter. And the commercial market, is up 2.5%. So, for them to be performing where they are, which is basically revenue was flat, I think flat in a down market is doing pretty well. And, when you look at they gave a little statistic, and she said that their commercial sales, the sales of carpet in the commercial market, was up 23.8%. So, those are some respectable performance numbers. Another thing, too, I wanted to point out, Dixie is buying back shares. So usually when a company does that, they're thinking that their stock, is at a lower value than it's going to be. And so I was noticing that they bought back 79,000 shares of their stock. So I think that they're a company to watch.
Well, hats off to them. It's really an excellent quarter considering the environment out there.
That's right.
Let's pause here. We're going to take another break. I'm going to change the subject when we come back. We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner on the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're looking back at some of the events over the past couple of weeks. And one of those events was an announcement from Shaw. In fact, they announced their regional market plans. And I guess there's some changes from the last several years. They've been sort of fine-tuning this whole regional market situation. And they're down to, seven markets.
And I think that's a wise decision because it was ridiculous when they first decided not to go to surfaces and decided to do their own shows because they'd gotten, enough of a base to, with all of their acquisitions and everything, they decided they were big enough just to hold their own shows. And I think that first year they had 20-some market shows out there. So now that they've gotten it down to six or seven, I think that's probably right because the dealer will travel, a couple hundred miles to come see Shaw, and they're probably making the right decision there, and I'm glad to see it. And they're back at surfaces, not necessarily as Shaw Industries, but they've got the Honeywell space there,
right
up front there next to BoU, and so they do have a presence at surfaces.
Well, that's true, and I was just trying to think of that. You said the number of markets that they held at the beginning, the first year that they broke away from surfaces, was how many?
I was close to, I think it was 18 to 20 different markets.
Some of them were in very, very small markets as well, and I think it's really worked out well here. And I suspect, I don't know, what are your expectations for the whole season? surfaces, the regionals, Mohawks regionals, Shaws? What are your expectations this time around?
Well, I think that each one of these companies has plenty to talk about, and I know that Shaw's focus is certainly this what they're doing with Green Edge and what they've developed with some of their Honeywell products, which is, you know, on Nylon 6.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, they continue to bring out, I think, you know, I don't know if it's 15 or 20% of their products are, you know, that they're going to be bringing out are new again this year. And so there's plenty to see. While the market is soft, there's certainly a lot of volume being sold out there. So, you know, there's reasons for the dealers to come to see, you know, what's new at what Shaw's doing or what Mohawk's doing, or to come to surfaces and see, you know, what the rest of the guys are doing.
Well, during these slim times, one really needs to know what's hot and what's going on so they can have the newest and the hottest things in their stores.
That's right. That's the time to sharpen the saw is when the market's down, right?
It really is. It really is. Let's do this. Let me just move on to the next topic here. Lumber liquidators, the red-hot hard surface operation, retail operation, has announced its filing for an IPO. Actually, they announced the terms for it with the SEC, with a filing with the SEC. This was last week, I believe it was. And let me outline some of this, and then we'll take a short break. This organization, and of course, we've talked a lot about that on this program. They have some 111 stores at this point in 42 states, and they're going to be filing an IPO very soon, to the tune of 11.5 million shares that they expect will be priced between $12 and 14 cents a share. On that note, let's pause here. We'll come back and talk about this a bit more.
Okay.
We're talking with Kemp Haar this morning. He is a publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net, and you're listening to Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar is on the line with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're looking back at the events of the last 2 weeks in the floor covering business. Just when we took this last break, we were talking about the IPO that Lumber Liquidators is filing. And as I mentioned, they're going to be offering 11.5 million shares of between $13 and $14 a share. And they've got some pretty hefty growth plans going forward.
They do.
As well.
You know, this is a company to watch. We call these people, you know, on the lumber side, this is a category killer, kind of like Empire is on the carpet side. I mean, you got this one company that's got 111 stores. They've got operations in 42 states, and you know, it's a combination of internet and mixed bricks and mortar and. It's just amazing what they're able to do. I also find it very interesting that I guess when they first formed this thing, there were there's a three-way split in the ownership, and the way they're offering these shares, you know, this Thomas Sullivan guy's going to end up smelling pretty good, isn't he?
I would think so.
Yeah, he's going to be. It looks like there's the equity company, Thomas Sullivan, and then Lumber Liquidators have split the number of shares that are being offered one-third each. And that's where they're rolling out with this thing. So, but anyway, this is a company that even with the market being off, you know, they've continued to do well. So, definitely one to watch.
And an interesting thing, they plan this year 25 new stores and somewhere between 30 and 40 new stores per year over the next several years.
Right. And so they'll be on the New York Stock Exchange. Notify your broker. Their symbol will be LL.
That's right. And I don't have a date here, but it's probably going to be relatively soon. One last thing before we run out of time here. Valinga, we've been talking about the glue-free joints for, I don't know, every show for the last several shows anyway. and usually talking about a patent infringement suit. And this time we're talking about a new partner. But Valenga has signed Terragrin, the bamboo people,
right,
and their partner from China, which I won't begin to try to pronounce.
Yeah.
I will ask you to if you want to. I'll invite you to do that.
Well, I know the first one's Angie.
That's right. Well, let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
Then.
The Angie Zayan Bamboo. I don't know. Something like that.
Close enough for government work, I would say.
Yeah. Zinwan. That's it. Angie Zinwan.
Zinwan. And Valenga is going to license their G2 and or 2G and 5G glue-free technology. And this is going to change things, it sounds to me, a great deal for Terragrin.
It's definitely going to on their studio. I guess they have a line of products, a bamboo products called Studio Flooring. And they've been having to make that in a Malaysian facility because they didn't have the rights to this Valenga patent. So apparently they're going to be able to make this now in their own facility.
Which will mean they can get it faster, and it sounds like it's going to be improved. Not only will the joint be an improvement, but also the base material, I guess, where they've been using eucalyptus and some other products, this will be the cross ply will be 100% bamboo, where it wasn't before.
But I think Terragrin's business has been pretty good. Certainly there's an environmental story to this whole bamboo, since it's not a tree, it's a grass, and I think you can harvest this product every 5 to 7 years, and so there's quite an environmental story. And I believe the Knights, there's a couple, David and Ann Knight, that are principals in this business. Their business is doing well.
It's been doing very well. They're really a hot property.
Yeah.
One last thing. I said one last thing before, but this is really one last thing.
Okay.
Ray Anderson was honored by Time Magazine. He was named a Hero of the Environment along with 43 other people. This was at a ceremony that was held last week in London. And also being honored by Time Magazine, Richard Branson.
Al Gore,
too.
Yeah.
Your buddy, your close buddy Al Gore.
A good old Tennessee senator who couldn't pull his own state when he's running for president. But, Al, I thought something about Al. He's won a Nobel. He's won an Oscar. He got this award. You know what I hear he's going after next?
What's that?
A Heisman.
Well, good luck to him.
Yeah, I know it.
And some of the other people here, Prince Charles, David Attenborough, the director, of course, Al Gore. Your other buddy, Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Bono. These are people that have won earlier. David Beckham.
Yeah.
And Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, Ray's in some good company.
So he is in very good company. And congratulations, Ray. He is a Time Magazine Hero of the Environment.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're out of time.
All right, Dave enjoyed it.
And I hope you're next year named a Hero of the Environment, or at least a Hero of something. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
We've been talking with Kemp Hart. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. And this is Floor Radio.